The year was 1888. The leaves were turning in Minneapolis as delegates gathered for what would become one of the most pivotal moments in Adventist history. Little did they know that the theological discussions about to unfold would reshape their understanding of salvation for generations to come. Welcome to The Turning Point, a podcast exploring the transformative message of the 1888 Minneapolis General Conference. I'm your host, and today we're traveling back to understand why this conference marked a turning point in Adventist theology. I remember stepping off the train that crisp October day. Minneapolis was bustling with industry and progress. The magnificent flour mills along the Mississippi River were testimony to the American ingenuity. As I made my way to the conference, my mind was preoccupied with doctrinal questions, particularly about the law in Galatians. Many of us had become so focused on defending our distinctive doctrines that we somehow lost sight of the author of our faith. The world of 1888 was rapidly changing. Industrialization was transforming America, with factory work replacing agricultural labor. In cities, workers struggled with poor conditions, while labor movements gained momentum. Immigration was surging, especially from Southern and Eastern Europe, changing the cultural landscape. And while women were actively fighting for suffrage, they were still decades away from winning the right to vote. Imagine, you've probably the first time you're seeing electric lights transform a city street. Perhaps you've heard of Thomas Edison's inventions. You might even find yourself reading in the paper about Darwin's theories challenging traditional religious views about the world, about nature, about ourselves. And he's starting to make headway. Communication is changing because the telephone is beginning to be connect distant cultures and communities in ways they had never imagined before. Even medicine is starting to make stronger headway and revolutionizing how doctors understand disease because of them being able to study bacteria. Into this rapidly changing world, the Seventh-day Adventist Church had emerged as a movement focused on biblical prophecy and the imminent return of Christ. By 1888, however, something concerning had happened. We had drifted. Somehow, in our zeal to defend the Sabbath and other doctrines, many of us had lost the joy of salvation. Our preaching had become focused on rules and prophetic charts, rather than the living Christ. I didn't fully realize it then, but our church desperately needed a course correction. The Minneapolis General Conference would become that correction. As delegates gathered, the atmosphere was tense. Two relatively young preachers, E.J. Wagner and A.T. Jones, were scheduled to present on righteousness by faith, a topic that would spark unexpected controversy. You would have noticed the division forming immediately. On one side sat the established leaders, many skeptical of this emphasis on justification by faith alone. On the other side was Ellen White, the church's prophetic voice, listening intently and recognizing the divine truth in the presentations. I can still hear Wagner's voice as he opened the scriptures, quote, "Christ and his righteousness," close quote. He proclaimed, "This is the message God has for his people." Some shifting uncomfortably in their seats, others leaned forward, drinking in the words that seemed to water parched souls. I found myself torn between loyalty to our established leaders and the undeniable power of the message being presented. Ellen White recognized the significance immediately. She would later write about this message presented, quote, "Justification through faith in the surety. It invited the people to receive the righteousness of Christ, which is made manifest in obedience to all the commandments of God," close quote. She saw this as the beginning of, quote, the loud cry, close quote, of the third angel's message prophesied in Revelation. Had you been there, you might have witnessed the resistance firsthand. Established church leaders worried this emphasis on Christ's righteousness might diminish the importance of the law and the distinctive Adventist doctrines. You would have seen heated debates, hurt feelings, and unfortunately, personal attacks rather than thoughtful discussion. Looking back now, I understand what happened. We had become so focused on being right that we had forgotten about righteousness, Christ's righteousness, given freely to sinners like me. The message was simple, yet profound. Salvation comes not through our obedience to the law, but through faith in Christ, whose perfect life and sacrifice fulfill the law's demands. This message came at a crucial time when spiritualism and mysticism was rising in American religious life. It offered a Christ-centered alternative to both legalistic religion and spiritualistic deceptions. As scientific materialism challenged faith, the emphasis on a personal relationship with Christ provided spiritual grounding beyond mere acceptance of doctrinal beliefs. As you reflect on this pivotal moment in church history, consider how it might speak to your own spiritual journey. When have you recognized pivotal moments that changed your understanding of faith? How might historical perspective enrich your discussions today? Before we close, let me challenge you with two practical applications from today's episode. First, research an aspect of 1888 history that interests you. Maybe it's Ellen White's specific statements, the details of Wagner and Jones's presentations, which were actually not recorded, or the broader cultural context. Dig deeper to understand how the pivotal moment has shaped our faith. Second, create a timeline comparing world events to church developments in 1888. You might be surprised to discover how God's message came at precisely the right historical moment to meet both the church's and world's need. The Minneapolis Conference continues to be studied as a watershed moment in Adventist understanding of God, particularly regarding the relationship between the law and gospel, and the central fact of Christ in salvation. Join us next time as we explore the specific messages of Wagner and Jones that sparked such controversy and revival.